How did you end up coming to Fenville and your farm?
Well, about almost 20 years ago, my husband took a job down this way, and so we're looking at homes, and this was always in my group of listings, and I was afraid of it because I knew what I wanted to do. And then I finally pulled it out to my husband. He said, "Why didn't you show me this a month ago?" And I'm like, "Well, would we have spent that much? And if I live here, I need to live here the way I want to, or I don't want to buy it at all."
You were coming from what, Rockford, north of Grand Rapids, where you worked as
a
real estate agent?
Yeah, I grew up there. And at that point, when we moved down, I'd moved in with my husband, and we lived on the west side of Grand Rapids. And so that's where we moved from, down to here. But I was a realtor, and I was doing my pottery as my sanity.
So you found this as part of your work, or you were just seeing these listings as part of your work, or were you consciously looking for something?
We were consciously looking for something. And then if you're going to live in a home that requires a lifestyle, you really can't have more than full-time work outside of it.
And it does require that. I've had the joy of visiting you out there. It's wonderful. So for our listeners, describe Fernwood Farm. What is it like? What did you see?
It's a beautiful old 1890s farm with a restored barn. We actually have four barns. When we moved there, it didn't have the windmill. We found that old windmill and restored it and put it up. There actually wasn't even a lilac on the property, but the place had good bones. It's been a labor of love over the last 19 years, and we've planted a lilac bush. We've planted a lot of other plantings. We've set up for animals, so we have grass-fed cattle and peacocks and chickens and a llama and horse and
a lot of chickens.
When a lot of chickens.
And I'm a chicken fan. I raised them, too. So it was, back when I visited you, it was, what, 150 chickens?
It varies between 100 and 150, depending on time of year and if some go into freezer camp or not.
And you've made a point of making it a sustainable farm, haven't you?
Yeah, we've tried really hard. It's what I love is having a restored old farm that has my pottery studio is solar powered. So, you know, I have a very large solar array. Our house is heated with geothermal. So I've tried really hard to keep the integrity of the old, but bring in the modern things that make it a little more sustainable, along with the grass-fed cattle and the pastured chickens that we use even in my cafe that I own in Fenville.
You've got your hands on many different ventures. Busy woman. But before we leave the farm to go into town, Fenville, let's talk about Kanemu and tell us what that name means and what is that studio about?
My pottery studio, Kanemu, is named after the Egyptian god of arts, crafts, fertility, and creation. And they believed he created mankind on the potter's wheel. So it has great history and great meaning. Difficult to say, so you can say Fernwood Farm. And I started this with myself, and then I brought in other artists' work. And then I started a couple years ago or so an internship program. And so I have people have come from New York and Kentucky, and this year I have one couple coming in from Pennsylvania, New York. So it's nice.
Are these like artist residencies?
They're artist residency interns to experience what it's like to be a working artist. And we do an exchange for education and use of studio for work in my studio. And my studio also has a gallery which has other artists' work besides myself. So I represent many other potters and I sell their work as well as mine. So people can learn a little more about pottery because I always feel that people don't respect an art form if they don't understand it. And if you can see the different styles and you can learn about the different firing techniques, I have a wood kiln, I have a soda kiln, I have my kiln, my big electric kiln that's all solar powered, I have, I pit fire. So if people don't understand the different firing techniques, they're not going to respect or understand why there's a different price between one and another, or why you can use one and why you can't use one in a functional way.
Mm. How did you get involved in ceramics? Does this go back to your mom?
Yeah. So when my mom had a slip cast ceramic studio since I was two, and so it was the kind, the pour your mold kind and paint yourself, and she taught classes 5 days a week, and we did craft fairs, and so I was always in her studio, but I wanted to make my own things. And so 20-something years ago, I said, I want to playing clay. And at that time, I was selling real estate, and it was my, like I said, it was my sanity. I was like, I need to make things. I'm a maker, and makers need to make. And
you really went back to your roots then.
Yeah. I grew up on my grandfather's, working on my grandfather's farm, too. So it was like, this entire thing is my childhood on broader scale.
On your grandparents' farm, did you participate in some of that sustainable farming process and the farmers market? And did you take some of that learning to what
you
do today?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, 40, 50 years ago, it was much more sustainable farming.
That's true.
And we did 50 acres by hand, and we went to the farmers market 3 times a week. And I was out there, you know, picking beans by hand and tomatoes and it all, you know, 12 hours a day out in the hot sun as a little child, but I loved it.
It seems like that theme of nature has not only molded your life the way you live day to day, but also has something to do with your ceramics. Talk more about like an artist's statement of what you do when you sit down at that wheel.
A lot of my work is organic. It has very, very floral natures to them, or tendrils, or I do also do functional work that, you know, is just a really great rustic kind of mug that you can use on a daily basis. But when I think of my work that I think of that represents me and what I make in work, it's much more of a an organic nature. You know, it has, there's some of them that kind of feel like a flower bud opening, or they're tendrils growing and they kind of feel like a root. And so they have a soft organic nature, and I find that soothing to make.
All right, so we've visited the farm. Now let's go into town to Fenville. From your own studio there, you decided to open up a, should I call it an art gallery, a shop, Fernwood, 1891. Talk about that.
So this will be going into its 6th year. So
already, wow.
Fernwood 1891 in downtown Fenville is an art gallery, but we also have, like, we represent more than just art. I have bread from Salt of the Earth, which is a couple doors down. I have maple syrup from local producers. I had handmade pasta. But I also have pottery and paintings and woodwork and, you know, a little bit of everything. And so it's an art gallery or maker's market that I try to represent what West Michigan is about.
How many artists do you represent?
It is between the two, because I just put it in a huge file. It's close to 100.
Wow.
You know, because some people, you have maple syrup, it's just he makes one product.
Right.
You know, you have a jeweler, work is small, but it doesn't take a whole lot of space for a little pieces of jewelry. You know, then you go from larger scale paintings. And with Fernwood 1891, it's nice because I do like a collaborative work with Salt of the Earth, where I do a rotating exhibit, where I do their 60-foot long hall in their bigger dining room, in their room that they do music. And it's nice that I can rotate artwork there. So I love Fenville, because Fenville seems so much like a community of people who are interested in local, people are interested in the arts, you know, people who are trying to do things a little bit more sustainably.
So how do you choose the artists that you represent? Do they have to be Michigan artists? Do they have to have a nature theme? Or is it just a thing you look at it and your heart says yes?
I try to do locally sourced, so I want them typically to be Michigan. Some of them, we're so close to the borderline. You know, I have Dick Lehman's work, who's a master potter, who's just south of the border.
Okay.
Of course I'm going to use Dick, because he's still local to me. He's closer to me than somebody in the UP.
True.
And his work is amazing. And so it's more, I have to like the work.
Yeah.
They have to fit within my mix of work that I currently have. Yeah. You know, I don't want all the same things. And you can't have all paintings of trees.
Right.
You know, so it's nice to have a variety of work that represent what West Michigan is about.
So then we go from your art gallery / shop, there's a door that opens next door, and there's yet another venture that you have.
So Root is my cafe, and it's a coffee house, and we also have spirits.
Yeah.
I opened that. It's going
you have
in
spirits now.
Yeah, I got my liquor license last year.
Oh.
And so we have local craft beers, and I try to have local wine and some local spirits. And so I opened that. It's going into its 5th year. That's hard to believe. It's been 5 years.
It is, yeah.
And I try to locally source that as well. You know, like I get pork from Creswick Farms and we slow roast it in-house. We have this awesome Mongolian pulled pork sandwich that we make the sauce in-house. I make, for my paninis, we make our bread. I grow vegetables on my farm or try to buy vegetables from local farms. And I have, like I said, my chickens. So I can raise
their eggs. Yeah.
I can raise, no, the meat.
Oh.
And I can use meat birds provided that I have them processed in the proper certified facility.
I see.
And so I try to bring in as much local as I can. And within an artisan coffee shop,
sure,
cafe, that we, yeah, have sandwiches. And so it's kind of a fun, funky little place with some really great creative menu items. Like we have a turkey bacon cherry chutney panini that is like our best seller that we make this.
We're talking around lunch hour.
You know you're making
me hungry.
Yeah, so in our soups, you know, we have like, I have another person that works with me by the name of Dawn. That is, I call her the soup master. We don't use recipes a lot most of the time in our soups. It's like you look in the refrigerator, what came out of the garden, you know, what came from the farmer's market. And
that's the way to do it.
You get the best
soups. It eliminates food waste, too.
It eliminates food waste. It also makes a more creative. You just don't have cheesy broccoli soup on the menu every single day.
You
might walk in with a miso chicken with some fresh chives and jasmine rice or something.
You can see my face here just wincing. Good thing my stomach isn't growling as yet. Is that something that you consciously address, food waste? Because that's such a huge problem in the restaurant business.
It truly is. Yeah, my goal is to have very little waste. And so we really do have little waste. And I also try to, with local sourcing, you have a lot less packaging. You know, our takeout cups are compostable. And so we have a bin out back for recyclables. I bring all my cardboard to the recycling station. So
can you compost back to the farm, or is there a circle there?
There's a bit of a circle there too. Is provided, I'll tell them I'm coming in today, take the stuff, throw it in a bucket, and then I can bring any kind of cuttings or waste back to the farm. And like, makes my chickens happy. You know,
you got
clippings of carrots and, you know, lettuces and different things that they're happy with, especially this time of year.
Yeah. Dare I ask, what's next?
Hopefully nothing. I just want this to be.
I was kind of hoping you'd say that. Enough, Dawn. You're going to be the mayor of Fenville here pretty soon.
Got enough going on. And my goal is just to make them all better.
Yeah.
You know,
I like the way they fit together.
Yeah, and it makes sense in my brain. I remember somebody when I first opened Root, they're like, why are you doing this now? It doesn't make sense. You have such a great thing happening at the studio on the farm. But it's a logical thing for me. I mean, I love food. I'm passionate about food. It's creative. It's cooking. I make pottery that is functional.
Yeah, yeah.
You eat off dinnerware that I make in the cafe.
I've seen it, yeah.
And so it's a total circle of everything happening in its little micro ecosystem.
yeah. I don't know if this is still true, but back when you first opened, there seemed to be an arrangement with the artists where you get to use the studio, but you also have to work at the store, or you might have to teach someone. Do you still have that going on?
Yeah. So in the gallery, in order to have workers in the gallery, you know, people who work in the cafe know food, artists know art. Again, that respect for art and understanding art comes from knowledge. And if you have a person on a potter's wheel in the front window throwing a pot, people get to see it. And the artist can talk about their work. And they can talk about that, you know, that pottery over there is wood-fired. And that pottery over there is raku-fired. And
so
what
you
does it
have
mean?
An artist actually working in the store at times.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Mostly in the summertime, you know.
Yeah.
It's definitely busier in the summer and the winter. And so the artists work there for use of the studio, and I'll fire their pottery in. And so it's an exchange for education and to have people in the space to be able to talk about the work. Customers seem to love that. They love to be able to meet somebody who's actually made the thing that they're purchasing.
And you also participate, I believe, in various things like arts and eats and those type of things, art prize maybe?
I did Art Prize years ago, but it falls at a terrible time of year for me because it's falls busy with Blue Coast Artists, Fall Tour Studios, Arts and Eats. Fall in the Farm is a busy time of year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Fall in West Michigan is a busy time of year because it's apple time, it's, you know, wine picking time, and I have all these things around me, so it's just really difficult to do.
Do you do your own wine?
My husband does. We just have a little mini vineyard. He makes like a few cases a year. If you come sit on my front porch, you can get a glass.
Any events this summer that you want to mention?
Most things happen in the fall, you know, so you have Blue Coast Artists, which is our 30th year, the first week in October. As the summer goes on, I have many events. I'm planning my workshops for this summer right now. I don't have them totally ironed out, so
check my website.
Check my website for that.
Okay.
I also will have opportunities to maybe see a wood firing in progress, you know, so, or participate in the wood firing. I just built that kiln last year.
So you build your own kilns, too. Oh, my goodness.
And so we built this kiln, and the first firing is going to happen in April of it. We finished it last fall, and so it's like a three-day process, staying up all night, stoking it with wood.
Oh, wow.
It's a 17-foot tall chimney. That fire will shoot out the top.
Three-day process.
Yes.
Wow.
So the fuel is wood, and we're going to get up to over 2,400 degrees, and the ash will land on the pots, create the glaze, and it's a really... So that's a community firing. You know, that's something that I can't do by myself. It's something that we do as a pottery community together.
How many people are involved in that?
This firing being the first one for here, it depends on the size of the kiln and the length of the firing.
Yeah.
But this one, I had friends come in from New York and help build it. They're going to come back in for the first firing. Some of the bricks were given to me by another potter friend that we dismantled the kiln in Detroit and brought it back. And so... he'll be part of it. Another potter friend who's just a wood fire, who's a master wood fire, she's going to be part of it. One of my assistants would be part of it. And so the first one, we're probably going to have 6 or 8 people. I want that to be just the core kiln builders. And then after that, we'll bring it more out to the public that they can participate.
Wonderful. When can people come by and visit?
I'm open May through October. Tuesdays through Sunday, so I'm only closed on Mondays, 10 to 5.
Wonderful. Thank you for coming in, Dawn.
Thank you so much.